Hello, I'm Barry Black. Welcome to the Hope Channel and to Higher Ground. A songwriter once said, I've found the answer. I've learned to pray. And yet, prayer is one of the most underestimated weapons in the Christian's arsenal. I want to talk to you about improving your prayer life. Come on, come with me to Higher Ground. I'm Barry Black, and welcome to Higher Ground. Today, we're going to be talking about improving your prayer life. I believe that prayer is one of the most underestimated weapons in the arsenal of the Christian. Alfred Lord Tennyson said, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of." When you think of the many, many times our Lord was in prayer, we must know that there is a power in prayer. The disciples came to Jesus one day and said, "Master, teach us how to pray, as John taught his disciples to pray." It is interesting that they never ask him to teach them how to preach or teach. They never ask him to teach them how to exorcise demons. They never ask him to teach them how to write an epistle. They saw a causal connection between his power and his prayer life. And they said, "We want to do that thing you do. Teach us how to pray." Jesus, arguably, is the greatest individual to ever walk the planet. If someone had asked Caesar Augustus, "What do you think will be the great legacy of your reign?" he would not have known that he would be best remembered for a Galilean carpenter who influenced his society and influenced our world. Someone has declared, all of the armies that have ever marched, all of the navies that have ever sailed, all of the parliaments that have ever sat, all of the kings and queens that have ever reigned, have not made the impact upon humankind as has that one solitary life. And a critical part of the life of our Lord was he lifted his eyes toward heaven and had conversations with God. A critical part of his power was his prayer life. When he knew that he only had hours to live, he spent that time in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'm so glad the Holy Spirit records that prayer. "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but let your will be done." When people tried to make him king after he fed the 5,000, he went up into a mountain to converse with his heavenly Father. He found his power in prayer. And as we look at his life, as we scrutinize his life, we too can find ways to improve our prayer life. So let us look at some of the principles we can learn for improving our prayer life, some of the practices we can implement for improving our prayer life. Practice number one, pray early. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says of Jesus, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out into a solitary place and there prayed." Jesus got up before daylight to converse with his Father in heaven. When do you pray? Do you wait until noon to pray? When do you pray? Do you wait until bedtime to pray? There was a time in my life when I waited until bedtime to pray. That's like eating a big meal just before you go to bed. The energy that you need, the strength that you need for the next day, you certainly don't need that meal for that period of unconsciousness. We need to pray early. The first thing you should think about when you get up in the morning is gratitude for the gift of a new day. And you should fall on your knees in prayer early. If we are to practice what Jesus did in prayer, we need to pray early. Practice number two, our Lord found a place where he could be alone. If you are going to pray as Jesus did, find a place where you could be alone. Mark 1:35 says he went into a solitary place. I have in my home a prayer closet. When I was looking at this home with the real estate lady, I was looking at walk-in closets, not so that I would have a place to hang clothing. I was looking at walk-in closets to see, will this be a comfortable place to pray? Find a place where you can be alone with God. For there are some things that should just be between you and God. Yes, there are times to pray with others, but you need to also find a solitary place. In the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord had his three closest friends, Peter, James, and John, with him. But he said to them, "You tarry over here." And the Bible says in Luke chapter 22, he went a bit farther. And in the inner recesses of that garden, which I've had the privilege to visit, he agonized with the Father all by himself. Find a solitary place to tell God in private your deepest anxieties, your deepest needs. Find time to be alone with God. The late Archbishop Fulton Sheen, when he was a young priest, read in the Bible where Jesus said to his disciples, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" And Fulton Sheen, who in the 1950s had a famous Emmy award-winning television program called Life is Worth Living, Fulton Sheen made it up in his mind, "I will spend a thoughtful hour with God every day for the rest of my life." And he did. He would find a church wherever he was, sometimes in Europe, all in different parts of the world, but he would find a church and there spend that solitary hour alone with God. Practice number three. If you are going to improve your prayer life, pray with enthusiasm. My friend, intensity matters. Jesus in Gethsemane prayed with great passion. "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." James chapter 5 says, "The effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous avail much." Pray with enthusiasm. My son wanted to go to Yale University. Yale University cost a lot of money. He already had full scholarships to other schools, but he wanted to go to Yale. He came to me and said, "Dad, I would like to go to Yale University." And what he was basically saying to me was, "Dad, I would like you to write checks for $43,000 a year." I thought the boy had been inhaling something. I thought there was no possibility at all that he would be matriculating at Yale University. But he was persistent and he was intense. "Dad, this is my dream. Please, Dad, let me go to Yale." I said to him, "Well, you have to matriculate, as you know, at least 1 year at our special Christian college. And then, if you can get a transfer to Yale, you can go." I thought, he'll become discouraged, he'll give up, I don't have to worry about anything. Well, he went to that Christian college and matriculated that year as if he were serving time incarcerated. And when the year was up, he was accepted at Yale University as a transfer student. Can you believe that? He was so persistent and so enthusiastic and so fervent with his request that he moved the heart and the wallet of even his frugal father. Now, his mother has another adjective for that, but frugal is the word that she is actually looking for. Pray with enthusiasm. Practice for, pray for God's Spirit's guidance. We have a GPS, a godly positioning system. He is the Holy Spirit. How do you get contact with the Holy Spirit? Luke 11:13 says, "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more is your heavenly Father eager to give his Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" One of the best things I ever did was to pray and ask God for his Holy Spirit. What an awesome thing that is. Pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance. It is his responsibility to lead and guide you into all truth. And one way to pray for his guidance is to ask for wisdom. James 1:5 says, "If anyone lacks wisdom, let him or her ask of God, who gives it liberally." My friends, no one needs to go through life stupid. Each of us can have the Spirit's guidance. We can be liberally showered with the wisdom of God from heaven. And not a single day goes by when I don't make that request for the wisdom that God desires to give me. Practice number 5, pray in accordance with God's word. In fact, one of the powerful ways of energizing your prayer life is to pray the scriptures. When Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" there on Calvary, he was praying the 22nd Psalm. Pray the scriptures. There is power in praying the scriptures. Pray his promises. Promises like Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus." Pray Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And if the word of God condemns a certain activity, you don't have to pray about it. God has already spoken. A friend of mine came and said, I'm dating an unbeliever. Should I continue dating that unbeliever? I said, what does the word of God say? She said, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness and light with darkness? She already had a clear word from the Lord. Pray in accordance with God's word. And then the next is pray in accordance with God's will. In the Our Father, our blessed Lord taught us to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Give us this day our daily bread. But he also taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to be in the circle of God's will. I want to pray in accordance with God's will. In Gethsemane, Jesus did not want to die. He was only 33 years of age. He said, Father, if there is a way, let this cup pass from me. And to those impossibility thinkers, those people who say, anything you ask, you can get, God said to his son, impossible. If humankind is going to be redeemed, you must drink that cup. Aren't you glad Jesus wanted the will of the Father to be done? When you are in the Father's will, even if you are in a storm, you are where God told you to be. When you are in the will of God, you can relax because he will never fail you. When I was contemplating marriage, I prayed repeatedly, let your will be done. And I begged God, if you don't want me to walk through this open door of matrimony, don't just close it, slam it in my face. And when God gave me my beautiful wife, I want you to know the seasons have gone by. I've been married for 37 years. I'd like to say I was a child groom, but that is not the case. 37 years. And whenever there is turbulence, because every marriage has turbulence, whenever there is turbulence, I have the confidence of knowing I prayed 25 and 30 times a day about this marriage before I entered it, and I know, praise God, I am in the will of God. Practice number 7, pray in faith. Faith is the only attribute without which you cannot please God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So pray believing that you are going to get what you receive. And you know, it doesn't take a lot of faith. One man in Matthew chapter 17, before Jesus cast a demon out of his son, said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Sometimes when you pray, you've just got a mixture of belief and unbelief, but don't let that keep you from going boldly before the throne of grace. In Acts chapter 12, the church was praying for Peter, who was about to be executed by Herod, and Peter was chained between soldiers in a Roman prison. These people were praying, but they didn't really believe that Peter was going to be delivered. After all, if you escaped from a prison, the people who were holding you would receive the same punishment you were to receive, and Peter was supposed to be executed. But God answered the prayer of their mustard seed faith. He came to Peter in the night season and hit him in the side, an angel, to wake him up. Imagine that. This man had so much peace that he was sleeping on the night before he was to be executed. And Peter was free, and he went to the home where a great crowd of people were praying for him and knocked on the door in Acts chapter 12. A maid by the name of Rhoda came to the door. "Who is it?" she said. "It's Peter." And she was so excited, she turned around and ran back to the praying multitude. "Peter's at the door," she said, interrupting their prayer. And they said to her, "Child, you are crazy. Peter's at the door," she said. "I know it's Peter." "Oh, you really think it is?" "I don't think so. It may be his angel, but it can't be Peter." I'm so glad that when people pray, even when they just have a little bit of faith, we serve such a merciful God that he responds and he honors the little faith that we can give him. Practice number 8, visualize God answering your prayer. Hallelujah. Be seeing it in your dreams. Be seeing that answer to your prayer in your mind's eye. Visualize God's answer to prayer. And let that visualization motivate you to begin to praise God in advance. When I interviewed for the job of chaplain of the United States Senate, I started talking to my wife and my then 14-year-old son about going to the Senate and working on Capitol Hill. We lived on Capitol Hill in the Navy Yard, and I would drive down Pennsylvania Avenue at night just to see the Capitol Dome in lights. And every time my wife and son were with me in the car and I would drive by the Capitol, I would say, "That's where Dad is soon going to be working." My son would say, "Mom, please tell Dad to stop talking that way." But I had visualized in my mind's eye God answering that prayer. And he did. He did something that many thought was impossible. And I was called and appointed the chaplain of the United States Senate. Visualize God's answer. My son later said, "Dad, the reason why I kept telling you to stop saying you were going to be working in the Capitol was because I didn't want you to be disappointed." I said, "Don't worry, son. I would not have been disappointed." He said, "You would not have been disappointed if you didn't get the job?" I said, "I certainly would not. I prayed for the job. I visualized the job. But I want to be in God's will. And I know that if God did not give me that opportunity, he had something better in store for me. And that's where I want to be. And that's the work I want to be doing." Visualize God's answer to your prayers. Finally, number 9, pray at life's critical crossroads. Each of us encounters critical crossroads in life. The crossroad of whom should I marry? The crossroad of what vocation should I pursue? The crossroad of what physician should I be going to? Each of us has critical crossroads. And that is when you should be in earnest in prayer. If you ever stretched out on your face before God, do so at life's critical crossroads. it will improve your prayer life. I had a friend who called me up. He was the assignment officer for the Navy. And he said, we'd like you to go to Pensacola, Florida, but we'll leave the decision to you. It was a critical decision, a crossroad decision. I took it to God. I said, Lord, if it's your desire that I go to Pensacola, Florida, on tomorrow, in Buford, South Carolina, I want to see 25 Florida tags. If you know anything about Buford, South Carolina, you rarely see anything but a North Carolina tag. The next day, I don't know what kind of conference they were having in town, but God answered that prayer. All my friends, you can improve your prayer life. You've got these 9 principles. Pray early, find a place where you can be alone, pray with enthusiasm, pray for God's Spirit's guidance, pray in according to His word and His will, pray in faith, visualize God answering your prayer, pray at the critical crossroads, negotiate with Him. And with the songwriter, you too will be able to say, I've found the answer. I've learned to pray with faith to guide me. I've found the way. The sun is shining o'er me each day. I've found the answer. I've learned to pray. Thank God we have someone who answers prayer.